This year, the Defense Department is renaming all military assets, including bases and ships, originally named for members of the Confederacy. A key player in this is a retired general. David Freudberg of the public radio series Humankind explains how this general's personal evolution helped him grasp this moment.
When Brigadier General Ty Sigely retired from the U.S. Army in 2020, America had become a different country than the one he knew as a child.
I was born in Virginia in 1962. It was an apartheid state. And that what that means is that the only way that a black person would go into a courthouse was as a defendant or a custodian.
Sigely, who is white, was raised in the Washington, D.C. suburb of Alexandria.
And so when I'm growing up, I'm in this segregated world, sort of a bastion of Old South. And Alexandria has, this is right outside the Capitol, has more streets named after Confederates than any other city in the country. And it was named that in the late 1950s and early 1960s.
Which underscored America's racial divisions that have lingered from the Civil War. Sigely says that Robert E. Lee, the Confederate General-in-Chief, was regarded by many Virginians as a kind of secular saint.
I grew up with the Confederate flags over the mantle. We knew descendants of Lee and gave them great status.
But during his childhood, Congress and the federal courts strengthened civil rights protections for voting and housing, all intended to ensure racial equality under the law. And to promote integration, some children traveled to public school in a different neighborhood from where they lived.
When I was at sixth grade, I was bused across town from the white elementary school to the segregated all-black school. And what was the name of the segregated all-black school? Robert E. Lee Elementary School.
That's pretty ironic.
It's not ironic. It's on purpose, because it is there to protest against integration and to show black people that white people still have the power, have political power. It's a thumb in the eye.
And even though Sigely didn't understand this as a kid, he would come to that realization after joining the Army.
I've been in the Army for 36 years, and I took that oath, the oath of office, and that started to mean more to me.
It's the same oath that all members of the military take and that we hear when a new administration is sworn into office.
I, Michael Richard Pence, do solemnly swear
that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And then I found out it was written in 1862. It's an anti-Confederate oath meant to protect America against traitors, foreign and domestic. And that, you know, the Confederates were domestic enemies. They were insurrectionists.
Sigely would go on to teach history at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York. And it was then that he realized Robert E. Lee, the Confederate hero he revered, had betrayed his country. It's a view that is held by former Democratic Senator Doug Jones of Alabama. He was on the Armed Services Committee that voted on an amendment to rename bases.
I don't see at this point how you can regard him as anything other than a traitor. He left the United States military. He led an army that was at war with the United States of America. He led troops that he commanded into battle that sole purpose was to defeat the United States of America, to kill American troops. How can you not regard that as traitorous?
A conclusion that Ty Sigely, as he rose through the ranks of the U.S. military, grew to accept. Instead of seeking to attain the status and power of a Southern gentleman, he aspired to be the best soldier he could, working alongside black soldiers. As he continued to dig deeper, Sigely kept coming back to this contentious question. What was the Civil War really about? Was it actually about slavery? 7 years ago, he laid out the facts in a video on YouTube which went viral. Sigely presented the case that preserving the institution of slavery was the primary reason for the rebellion against the United States.
Every state in the South had a convention where they went to vote on whether they should secede or not. And Mississippi's says that that we're going to war to protect Negro slavery, the greatest benefit to mankind in the world. Full stop. Texas says the same thing. South Carolina has it. So they are saying that there is always meant to be a laboring class. And this laboring class is for the benefit of everybody else. And they are not equal. They are not. They're almost like a subspecies of human. That's what it's really saying.
This strain of brazen prejudice is a remnant of the Civil War ideology that came to be known as the Lost Cause, that owning people under threat of force is somehow justified as the cornerstone of society. That philosophy was embraced by the slave states, which saw the 1860 presidential election of Abraham Lincoln as an illegitimate threat to their way of life. Slavery was hugely profitable. 6 weeks after Lincoln's victory, South Carolina became the first state to secede from the Union, the prelude to civil war. Echoes of the Lost Cause emerged more recently with the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol and Donald Trump's false claims that he won the 2020 election.
This is a fraud on the American public. This is an embarrassment to our country. We were getting ready to win this election. Frankly, we did win this election.
And that, I think, is one of the interesting things in how this wave of denialism is continuing.
Historian Hillary Green of Davidson College in North Carolina has studied the ideology of the Lost Cause.
And where are they finding their foundation? They're finding it in the Lost Cause. And they're finding it in the ways to overturn it. So I think for us to understand today's movement, we really need to go to how the Lost Cause got developed and how it hardened over time. Because one of the most chilling images that I saw on January 6th was a gentleman holding a Confederate flag. You can't get around that symbol, but that symbol is so much the Lost Cause.
Former Democratic Senator Doug Jones says he reacted viscerally to the presence of the Confederate flag at the insurrection.
Those weren't symbols of history. Those were symbols of hate. And to watch what happened on January 6th, I was just completely revulsed at everything that I saw going on, but particularly seeing Confederate battle flags roaming through the halls of the United States Capitol, when in fact it had been just about a month earlier when the statue of Robert E. Lee was removed from the Capitol because of his history.
And the legacy of that history lives on in the names of U.S. military bases and other facilities today. Jones has supported efforts to rename them. It's a change that was catalyzed by the gruesome murder of George Floyd in 2020. But not all were on board with this effort. The Republican chair of the Armed Services Committee, James Inhofe, dismissed it. Again, historian Hillary Green.
To have military bases and other installations and others recognizing domestic enemies of the United States always seemed odd to me as someone who has had family who fought for the U.S. forces, Army and Navy, and some Coast Guard since the Civil War.
After years of debate, Congress established the Naming Commission in 2021. Ty Sigley was the vice chair. Recommendations for new titles reflecting a broader diversity of Americans were formally accepted by the Pentagon last fall. They included changing Fort Lee, named for Robert E. Lee, to Fort Gregg Adams, honoring two African-American officers. Fort Hood, named for a Confederate general, will be renamed Fort Cavazos after the first Hispanic-American to become a four-star general. Here's Pentagon Press Secretary, Air Force Brigadier General Pat Ryderin.
Secretary Austin is grateful for the work of the commission and thanks them for their dedicated efforts and recommendations that will give proud new names that are rooted in their local communities and that honor American heroes whose valor, courage, and patriotism exemplify the very best of the U.S. military.
Well, it means so much to me because I chose to retire from the Army to try to help do that, to try to help change those things that were named after those who chose treason to preserve slavery.
Sigley's mission is to tell the truth about this country's past, a mission that required a personal evolution in discovering and accepting the truth for himself. He chronicles as much in his recent book, Robert E. Lee and Me. The Pentagon plans to complete the renaming process by the end of this year. For Here and Now, I'm David Freudberg.